Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Would Save the World. I'm your host, Tuke Edelo. I'm here every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. and rebroadcasted on Thursdays, 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I do that every single time. So today we're going to be talking about guns, which are a huge issue right now. You know, there was this Orlando shooting, and there seems to be a shooting or a major act of violence related to guns every couple of months, or, you know, more often than we hear about on the news, probably, because there's a lot of individual things that happen. But I don't really have a lot of personal views on what should be happening legally, because I just don't understand how that will all interact. This is what the one issue I don't have, like, super, super opinionated opinions on. So I have this whole panel of people here with varying different views. So first we have Ricardo Valle Jr., who I did a theater program with when we were in high school, and he is a libertarian, like, scary libertarian, in my opinion, but I'm going to let him talk a little bit about himself for a minute.
Hi, my name is Ricardo Valle Jr. Libertarian. I'm that libertarian. Rest in peace, Margaret Allen Feldman. I'm just basically Donald Gresham principle, self-ownership. You should be allowed to do whatever you want so long as you're not harming anybody else. And that's basically where I take my litmus test for where I stand on every single issue ever. And as far as, you know, guns go, you know, the more laws that you pass, the harder you make it for law-abiding citizens to get guns. But as far as, like, the black market goes and just people getting, like, unregistered guns left and right or whatever the case is, like, you don't want to leave the good people disarmed is basically my stance.
Okay. So, and then we have Irina, who I actually met just the other night and brought her up to my apartment with her friends, and we had this amazing political views, and I'm now experiencing catharsis in terms of what a libertarian means. So I was like, I should invite her on the show. So why don't you talk about a little bit about your background, or yeah.
Okay. My name is Irina Kucharska. Nobody can pronounce my last name, so that's my job. Anyway, I have been a libertarian since college, which before that I was actually a conservative because I had no opinion and my family was very conservative. But I just eventually, over time, you kind of realize that, like, the liberals have good ideas and then the conservatives have good ideas, and the best ideas that they have can all be summarized by libertarianism. And, you know, I agree with Ricardo, that's your name, Ricardo, about that. My litmus test usually also is, it's like, are you doing something that harms other people? And if it harms other people, then that's not cool. But with guns, I think the reason why it's, like, a complicated issue, and I don't really have, like, a very solid color on, like, where I stand on it, because I believe that, like, for people who are law-abiding, they should be able to defend themselves, you know, because think about the only place, like, in Chicago, the only people that are armed are the criminals, and everybody else is just kind of, like, screwed. Like, sorry, bro, guess you can call the cops after everyone you love is dead and complain and cry, and then we will try and do something about it, like, after the fact. So I think it's a complicated issue. I just think that, you know, you can't ignore the fact that people die accidentally from guns all the time, like, legal guns. Like, a kid will find his parents' gun and he'll accidentally, like, shoot his friend in the face or something. And, you know, I think that that's something that needs to be taken into account. So,
yeah, great. So we're going to get to all of this. I think this is going to be a great discussion. And then we have David Murphy, your name is?
Yes.
I just met David Murphy on the street like 5 minutes ago trying to find someone who's super, super, super anti-guns, and he is not. And I was like, well, maybe you won't fit on the spectrum. Then last minute I was just like, well, you know what? It'll probably be different anyway.
I will provide a very interesting take on this, because I am an anarchist from Vermont.
Oh, cool.
And, well,
anarcho-communist from New York.
You didn't plan on this, but my views are mainly, I think we need to protect ourselves from, our bodies. Our first and foremost, like, you don't know who the other guy is. Or girl. Whatever.
Or person.
Yeah, and if they come up against you, you have to defend yourself. That's just, like, a really basic,
mm-hmm,
not human right, because I don't think we have any human rights.
You don't think we have? That's an interesting point. I mean, I think, okay, from here we're just gonna let it flow, just talk if you have an opinion.
Like a biological right, just like,
no,
to
we
protect
have
yourself.
No human rights at all.
so we don't have any, but we have rights?
No, we don't have rights.
So what do you think is a right?
We don't have any.
But what do you mean? Do you think there's nothing that people inherently deserve? What?
No, I didn't say that. I think that we don't have any human rights at all, or we don't have civil rights.
You think that we haven't been granted them in reality. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that they're like a social idea. Like there's something that we all came up with as a society because it's just something that, you know, the majority of us, the overwhelming majority of us believe that like we should treat each other according to a certain set of like standards. And that's what we call civil rights. And that's what we call human rights.
Yeah, it also depends on like how you would define rights. And then, you know, I'd say, well, who are you to tell me I don't have rights, or whether I do have rights, like whether I do or not. It's like it depends on how do you define them and, you know, what do you consider that?
Yeah, some people believe that rights are something that the government gives you and that freedoms are something that you inherently have or something like that. I remember arguing this when I was really drunk with somebody.
Yeah.
Nice. That's usually how most arguments go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, also liberties and freedoms are... Also, liberties and freedoms are two different things.
What do you think is a liberty and what's a freedom?
Oh, well, liberty has to do with law, and then freedom has to do with, like, your agency or your being. We need to be transformative in our reality, and...
I love you. I'm so glad.
You remind me of Spencer. Doesn't he remind you a little bit of Spencer?
We're talking about this guy, Spencer, who actually was going to be on this show. No, it's good. No, don't be sorry. Irina's friend Spencer, who I met the other night, was actually going to be on this show also, but he was working and we were going to maybe call him in, and he's probably going to be listening to this when it plays tomorrow, but I don't really understand how to work the phone here. So I was like, no, just come on in another episode about prison justice. Like, we'll do it another time.
Word.
But I was going to say... something. So we were talking about like liberties and freedoms and rights. So something that people always talk about with the gun issue is the Second Amendment. What do you think about the Constitution? Do you think the Constitution should always be honored? What do you think of that?
Okay, so I think that if we're going to be a nation of laws, then you ought to abide by the Constitution. Else, what is the point of having laws in the first place? If you want to be an anarchist society and just have total anarchy, then by all means, fine, but then let's agree that that's what it's going to be. Let's not just pick and choose what laws we want to follow.
But anarchy does not mean disorganization. Anarchy...
No, it means no rulers.
Anarchy means no rulers, but see, when I lived in a commune, an anarchist-identifying commune, we had agreements, not rules. It's something that everybody agrees is going to be the acceptable thing, and it's hard to reach consensus on a larger scale, so I guess that is why we have things like the Constitution. But also, we've... you know, edited the Constitution a bunch of times, but you know, amending, right?
Yeah.
Mandate. We've mandated it.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, when a law changes, it's called mandate.
Called mandate.
Yeah.
You got to move closer to your mic.
I'm not used to this. Sorry.
It's cool. I understand.
So, okay. Like, I think that when it comes to the Constitution, like, clearly it wasn't perfect from the start. We had to amend it, and they knew it wasn't going to be perfect. They
weren't even... 150 years ago.
Yeah. Like, they put that in there because they weren't... Not everybody was happy with what they got, and they're like, you know what? Maybe, like, give it some time, and we can, you know, come back to this whole slavery issue.
They were really smart, and they said a lot of really good things.
Yeah. But they also knew that it wasn't foolproof, so they gave it some sort of leeway so that we can change it if...
They had to.
Yeah.
Let her talk.
Well, they didn't have to, but they did because, you know, they were wise old white guys, whatever. So I think that with the Second Amendment, I think it's reasonable to, like, kind of look over it and ask ourselves what it meant back then and what it means for us now. Like, they didn't have, you know, automatic weapons. They didn't have, like, you know... explosives. Well, I mean, they did, but they didn't have like the crazy technology that we have now. Stuff that, you know, if you find it as an inexperienced, you know, user of weapons, it could blow up in your face and it can blow up an entire city and a lot of people could die. So I think that if we agree that we're not going to be in anarchy, if we agree that we have at least some sort of like standard of like rules, even if it's minimal. Like as a libertarian, I believe that it should be very, very basic, just like don't hurt other people kind of stuff. Even if we agree with that, like we still have to, apply that logic to everything, and guns should be included. If we want everything to be completely free and do as you will and let the chips fall where they may, then, you know, sure, everybody can have whatever kind of gun. I can have, like, you know, a tank in my backyard. But we don't, that's not the rules that we live by. And I think it's reasonable to ask that there be some sort of oversight for the gun market. Like, I don't mean, like, take away guns, take away your right to buy guns. I think the fact that it's so hard to purchase a gun for, like, a law-abiding citizen, I think that's messed up. Because we're the ones that need it. Like, I would like to have a gun if I'm walking. Like, I like to travel by myself a lot. So it would be nice to have a gun in my pocket in case I'm in a neighborhood or someplace I get lost and I don't know where I am and there's dangerous people around. But it's hard for me, especially in New York, to buy one. As a criminal, like, I can totally go to, like, the projects up the block from my house, and I could totally buy an illegal gun.
Do you think that the regulations against and making it hard to buy a gun makes more of an underground market?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who said that?
I did.
Oh, okay.
It's like, absolutely.
I was going to say, do you think, because you were talking about how hard it is to buy a gun, how there has to be some regulations, do you think that gun manufacturers and distributors should be required to provide training, or do you think you have to take training in order to be able to buy a gun?
That's a good question. How do you feel about this?
I mean, it's a little bit scary when you, like, when the whole, like, licensing and training comes into play, because, like, the whole reason why we have a Second Amendment to begin with is to make sure that the government is not the only ones who have guns. Therefore, like, if we are to have, like, this training or this licensing or whatever, like, who gets to make those laws? Like, is that going to be, like, government approved? Like, the whole reason we have these is to make sure that we can protect. So, like, I just feel like that's a slippery slope. I mean, granted, I feel like, yeah, it'd be more convenient if
everything's a slippery slope.
Yeah, true. I feel like it would be more convenient if, like, the manufacturer or whatever did have gun training, just because, like, if you're selling a product, you want to make sure that it's properly being used. Like, that's fine if it's, like, the seller or whatever the case is.
I just was thinking, like, when she was saying, oh, I would like to have a gun in case something happens, and I'm like, well, I would want to make sure that you knew how to properly use a gun, like, that it would be less likely to blow up in your face.
And store it.
Yeah,
for
sure.
If you're not going to have it on your being.
Definitely.
If there's kids
and
around.
Like, I know I'm a reasonable human being, and I'm not going to have a gun and just be, like, waving it around when I'm drunk. Well, actually, I don't know, because I've never held a gun when I was drunk, so maybe I would wave it around like a psychopath.
And good people do bad things,
yeah,
all the time.
Absolutely.
Cass Stevens.
Yes. Very valid point. But, like, I know that I would be cool with it, you know? I mean, as far as I can, like, you know, speak for myself. And I would learn what to do and what not to do and how to clean it and how to keep track and make sure that nobody else gets a hold of it and stuff. But I can't say the same for everybody else, you know? How many of my friends just get drunk and do stupid shit, just stupid things, and I'm, like, standing there, like, I feel like I'm the mom of the crew, and I'm just like, guys, please, can we, like, not jump from, like, you know, three stories high? I know you're trying to aim for the swimming pool, but, like, can we just not do that right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what they would do if they had all these, like, crazy things. I lived in the South for a little while, and I would meet a lot of dudes who would just be like, oh, I'll take you shooting one day. You know, my 2-year-old does it. He goes hunting with me all the time.
That's such a
badass little kid. Yeah. And on one hand, I'm just like, I don't know. I can't judge you because I've never had a child and I've never used a gun. But if you know how to keep it safe and you, like, if you're making sure that nothing happens to your kid, that's one thing. But what if you're just a psychopath? And what if you just leave guns lying around the house? You know what I mean?
Deliver us from evil.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that I think about. Deliver us from evil. That is one of those things that I think about a lot, actually, in terms of, like, guns. Like, if you're taking your kid out to learn how to hunt and hunt for food, which I actually think if you're going to eat meat, is one of like the most ethical ways to get meat, because you're not keeping them in your own environment and you're not like forcing them to have the life.
And you're aware of like what it is that you're doing, because you're the person, you know, you're killing them yourself. You're not, and you go to the store.
It's out in the wild.
Yeah,
exactly. But I do think that what I would like is more initiatives and groups that are training for nonviolent communication and mediation techniques, so that people know that for conflicts, guns are not ever really an acceptable way to solve conflict. Like if someone comes at you with a gun, that's one thing. But if you have a problem with somebody else, you don't pull out a gun. You try to communicate. You try to, you know, use your verbal skills. And so I think that there's a lot of them. I call it like emotional illiteracy. A lot of people don't know how to communicate with each other. I talk about nonviolent communication all the time, which is where you, when you say how you feel, you don't use judgment words. Like I don't say to you, I feel like you're being a jerk. Like you say, I feel sad when you poop on my floor. Like, I know that's just a good example. This is not, you know, it's a silly example, but like nonviolent communication. I saw these guys out in Staten Island actually who were doing like an anti-gun violence campaign, but they weren't saying that guns should be illegal. They were showing the kids in the neighborhood like what happens when you play with guns and use it. They actually just had like a coffin out, which I thought was a kind of intense but cool, and they had like a bunch of different pamphlets about mediation and like different ways to solve problems, different groups to get involved in, so you're not just going to be violent. Focus on other things. And I think that's really cool. I wish that schools taught that.
Me too. I think that one of the interesting things is that, like, because, you know, a bunch of us, you guys are anarchists and we're libertarians and stuff, so I think that one of the things that nobody really like talks about is the difference between when you do have a government, like especially a really like massive overbearing one that has a lot of rules, you just kind of like expect that they're taking care of all of this stuff. When you don't have that, you end up taking care of things yourself. It's the same way, like, you know, when you live with your parents and you know they're going to go food shopping, you know they're going to wash the toilet, so you're not going to do it yourself because they're going to do it. But if you're like, you know, if you're living by yourself, eventually your toilet gets dirty, so you're going to clean it. Eventually you're going to get hungry, so you're going to go food shopping. And when we don't expect that the government is going to take care of all of these issues with like gun safety and everything like that and taking care of our neighborhoods, we step up to the plate and we do it ourselves. Like the people that you're talking about, that's people who realize that this is something that the government just wasn't taking care of. But how many people just rely blindly, like they're focused on their own lives and they just expect that the government's going to step in and do whatever it is that the government is, you know, quote unquote, supposed to do to protect the citizenry.
That's why I think anarchism like really cannot work right now on a large scale. I think it could maybe eventually, but people are just so used to not taking any personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
And I think about this with the cops all the time. I don't trust the police. I was on the ferry and I recently I'm taking a break from marijuana because I got so paranoid. Like I thought somebody was going to friggin' kill me. And I just kept thinking to myself, I was in the bathroom and I was like, oh, and I don't really like lock the lock usually if it's closed. I'm like, whatever, I'm going to be here for 2 seconds. But I was like, oh, I got to lock it. But then what if somebody comes in underneath the door? Like I was freaking out and I kept being like, well, I can't tell the cops I'm feeling this way because they're not going to help me. And I kept thinking like, oh, I wish I could find like some nice lady on here that I could tell them that I'm like having a panic attack and they would help me. But I didn't feel like I could really ask that of anybody. And I feel like if there was a world of people were felt like they had to take more personal responsibility. I mean, that's not personal responsibility, but responsibility for
each other, for society.
Yeah. And I actually kept thinking that maybe there should be some sort of like safety group app where people like will help you. I don't know how that would work, but
I have a question. Would you have felt better if you had a gun on you?
No. Okay. I don't know. Maybe. I've never thought about having a gun. See, I don't have much faith in myself.
Well, now you are.
Now I'm what?
Now you're thinking about
it. You just posed the question.
Yeah, I don't think that I would trust myself with a gun. I think that I think of myself as far too chaotic.
I don't trust myself with a gun either.
See, I'm super paranoid person, and I know that.
I don't want to harm anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to harm anyone either, but I know how I get when there's someone in my house who I think could potentially be dangerous, and I know the kinds of things I do.
You might accidentally hit them.
Well,
or her.
I wouldn't accidentally hit them, but I get very like, you have to get out of my house right now. You have to leave right now. Leave right now. And if I had a gun, I might be, so I have PTSD. I have extreme PTSD, and I've never threatened to harm anybody with a knife. That has never, ever, ever been anything. I've never thought about physically harming someone like that unless they were trying to hurt someone I loved. But, like, I can imagine if somebody was really setting off my triggers, that I might threaten to set off a trigger. No, but well, if so, I had it.
Something to keep in mind is actions do have consequences. So no, even if like your dopey friend who likes to jump off of roofs or whatever the case is, like
hardcore.
Yeah, like even if when he, you know, like even if that guy has a gun and he's drunk and whatever the case is, even if he's violent, even if, like, God forbid he shoots somebody or whatever.
Or his gun spills out of his pocket while he's doing parkour.
Whatever the case is, the reality is because actions have consequences, people are going to be more careful. And even if they're not fully aware of themselves and something tragic does happen, there will be consequences afterwards that will either punish them or, you know, maybe somebody...
Yeah, but that's not going to change the fact of what already happened, what transpired. I think this is another thing that, I mean, I have beef with in the libertarian community, like the more right-wing part of the libertarian community.
The ones I can't handle.
Yeah, those guys. Like, they also annoy me a little bit because they don't really have a valid answer for, like... Their faith in the market is so significant and severe.
The free market.
Yeah, like it's going to solve all of our problems. But one of the things, like I graduated with a degree in economics. So this is like a huge pet peeve of mine.
My dad teaches at Boston College 54 years.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I went to Hunter because I was poor, but whatever.
That's a good school.
What was your pet peeve?
It's when people like when they assume that the market is going to solve all of your problems because... human beings inherently, like this is an assumption of economics, is that human beings, like for all economic models, human beings inherently behave rationally because there is always going to be a blowback for irrational actions. But that's simply not true. Like we know that human beings very frequently behave quite irrationally. You know that, you know, you're going to punch someone in the face because you're angry and it's going to have a significant blowback. It's going to have an effect on your friendship with this person or relations, or if they're your boss or your coworker, you could get fired. I got fired, I know, for calling my coworker a pussy little bitch. And whoa. I knew as I was saying that to his face that there was going to be a significant repercussion to it. But he was being such a horrible human being that I couldn't, like, I just couldn't. I was overwhelmed with rage. And I had to tell him and fuck the consequences.
But the market does take care of things.
Like, yes, I did get fired.
How does the market take care of things? Okay, please explain to me how. All right, so like, I want to say something really sarcastic and nasty. Please tell me how the super capitalist Ayn Rand, you know, fucking like porno like helps anything. Please tell me.
So to the whole like, you know, like people don't care about their blowback because they're so irrational or whatever cases. The reality is that, you know, either they work it out or they don't. And either way, both parties part their own way and just go about it. And they'll eventually, you know, they'll figure it out for themselves. So.
Yeah, but that's the point is that it's not in any given conflict, in any situation, you're not always going to have the most reasonable outcome. It's not going to be the most efficient, you know, equilibrium point on the graph.
We're not all trying to reach the same goal.
That's also true. Absolutely. Like what may seem rational and reasonable to me may not seem that way to you. And a lot of people are just simply not logical human beings. How many videos have we seen of like, you know, just like guys videotaping their just people videotaping stupid people who can't answer something that seems to us a very simple question. You're going 80 miles an hour. How far are you going to get in an hour? I don't know. Like, those kind of people, those exist. So I'm telling you, like, you can't.
But they have to live with their consequences. Well,
and
the whole
so
point...
do the rest of us.
But I also think that there's a huge demonization of emotions. And I think that big part of the problem is what I was talking about, emotional literacy. I think that we are very trained to not think about our emotions and our emotional processes. And I think that, like, in my experience, anger is often the first impulse from sadness. And because I'm a very highly emotional person, I have a lot of deprived, a lot of stuff. Yeah. And I think that every time I've gotten angry at someone I love and I'm just like angry, 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 and I'm not like violent, like physically, but I can get violent verbally. And it's
yeah,
like,
me too.
I get violent. And then usually it ends up with me crying and like, just because I'm so hurt.
And I feel so guilty and terrible. And now it's like, I'm hurt and now I made you hurt. Yeah, I know.
But I'm the kind of person who catches myself eventually and does that. But not everybody knows how to do that because I think people are discouraged from feeling. Feelings are demonized. And this is a big part of feminism for me is like taking away the stigma from what is considered to be so-called feminine traits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that, you know, the narrative of different things definitely affects, like, society, like, in a big way. For example, going back to the topic of guns, I feel like it is demonized. It is viewed as, like, a weapon that's, like, only used to kill. However, if we were to maybe change the narrative and it goes to, like, you know, maybe educating the public more on how to use a gun for self-defense, and we were to, like, you know, narrate it in a way that you explain guns as more of a self-defense model than just, like, a tool used to kill people and do harm, then, you know, maybe we'll see more responsible people with guns and, you know, people who maybe don't trust themselves because, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm drunk or if I'm angry. You know, maybe if they're, like, a little bit more educated on the subject and thought of it as a, like, strictly self-defense thing, then maybe we'd be better off.
Yeah, I think that, like, it's how society is that, like, people always say that, like, money and capitalism is just evil. It's not actually capitalism and money that's evil. It's people. Yeah, I know you have an opinion on this. But it's people. It's the way that, like, we worship all of the negative impulses that, like, you know, capitalism allows us to indulge in, you know, like greed and just, like, you know, focusing on yourself and screw the other guy, like all of those things. That's just a reflection of us and our humanity. So I think that in order to make any system work, if you want to have some kind of a system in place, it's the people. It's the system and the society is a reflection of the people who make up that, you know, society.
Yeah, it's not guns, it's people.
Who are dicks.
But I do think that...
Spoons made me fart.
What?
Spoons made me fat. I said fart. I don't know.
Spoons?
Spoons made me fat. No, it's like the sarcastic argument of, like, if guns kill people, then spoons make me fat.
Well, yeah.
Fart.
Yeah, people kill people.
But it's gluttony that makes you fat, and it's, like, it's the indulging in those base, like, instincts. It's what, you know, our society thinks you want it. Go get it.
Do you think that's human nature?
Probably.
Yeah, I do. But I also think that, like, we have the capacity to be better. We have the capacity. Like, that's why we have the struggle. That's why we try and, like...
When I was on the phone with Took on my way here, she mentioned the whole, like, entitlement, like, society and, like, this, that, and I feel like that has a lot to do, you know, with the way that people view things and go about things. I do believe that there's people that, like, they feel like they're entitled to be defended by the government and nobody else but the government and this side of the third. And I feel like that plays a big part also.
Well, I was talking about something that I totally just spaced out on. Wow. We were talking about human need. Somebody just talk about something. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm probably dead air. Okay. I think that capitalism actually influences psychology. I think that the structures we have around us influence psychology. I think that
They are interdependent.
It's like a cycle. It's like a vicious cycle.
Yeah, I think there's
We don't know what the coefficient is. We don't know what the variables in the equation are, but they are definitely...
I remember what I was going to say. You were talking about entitlement, and I was thinking about that this person I know who is super, super Ayn Rand, like individualist, and I am a collectivist. I believe that you find individualism in the healthiest way within the collective. That's what I believe.
Whoa.
And I believe that... do you have something you want to say on that?
No. I just wanted to hear what you're saying.
Okay, so I think that capitalism is like a more thing, and I actually think that is like the most illogical thing I've ever heard to base a, you know, it's like a get more in a world with finite resources. And I think that capitalism always wants to talk about like the scarcity, like, oh, we don't have enough. But I think it's actually a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I think that we could have an abundance of resources that everybody could have if we handled it better. But I think the way capitalism works makes it so that we take too much and don't manage it well. And this guy that I know, he always says to me, he goes, oh, well, in your collectivist world, where's my diamond boat? I want to have a diamond boat. I'm like, well, that's just too bad. You have to get over it. Like, I'm for the freedom and the liberty and whatever, like, have whatever you want, but, like, you can't do it if it's making it so other people can't have things. Like, if you're, I don't really care about diamonds. If he wants to take all the diamonds in the world and build a boat, it's not going to hurt anybody. But still, it's like the metaphor of it made me so angry.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
Of a meme.
Yeah,
the meme that says, like, you know, capitalists think that everybody should be equally rich, yet socialists feel like everybody should be equally poor.
Well, I think that look, if you're looking at third world countries, capitalism helps them way more than it hurts them because it speeds up. Even Marx. Even Marx said like that before you have communism, you have to have capitalism because you have to have accumulate the wealth in order to be able to. Engels? Oh, okay. Well, one of those guys.
Wait, what did you say? No, Marx said that. Marx believed that the capitalism was going to create the abundance of things that we need or abundance of resources and goods. And then what was going to happen is it was going to get given back to the proletariat.
Yeah.
But like, that we're too late.
No,
that's
I don't.
That's what I think. I think we're too late.
I don't think so at all. I think that if you're looking at just like the developed world, then yeah, if you take that separately, like it just looks like what the hell is going on? We should have like transitioned from this to something better at this point. Like everything is kind of falling apart. But we're not. If we're a global economy, so we're all at different places. You know what I mean? So I think that like the idea that he had was like it was valid because it even falls into the capitalist model. The idea that when something doesn't work anymore, somebody comes along with a better idea and, you know, kind of that takes over, like that's the new model, then we follow that.
But where's our better idea? You know, everybody wants to talk about how we're turning into a plutocracy, an oligarchy, the rich and the poor, there's no middle class. Like, you know, I think it is not in the hands of the proletariat at all.
Oh yeah,
I think it's gotten worse.
Oh my god, absolutely. But that's also because capitalism is not like it's not a naturally organically evolving thing that we have. It's corporatism. It's totally influenced by, and it's an incestuous relationship between the rules that we establish for capitalism by government, and then the capitalists who donate to the government in order to make those rules possible.
That is
and,
correct.
Yeah.
As I know it.
Yeah, that's the problem. The problem is that you have the corporations that pay the lobbyists to make the rules, which then the government passes, and then it's like it only helps the big businesses that, you know, helped write those rules, and then the small businesses are screwed, and then people blame the market, but it's not really the market.
It's monopolies. It's a government and, you know, Wall Street monopoly.
And that's why people don't care, because it's out of
I know,
hands.
We're not even talking about guns anymore.
No,
it's ridiculous.
That's not what I'm upset about. I'm rolling my eyes at any positive thing of capitalism, because I have anarchist OCD. I know, really.
But what about anarcho-capitalists?
I think that's bullshit. Capitalism
is
crazy.
Just,
I think no, it's not crazy. It's legitimate. I think anarcho-capitalist.
We should have had an anarcho-capitalist on this show.
I think anarcho-capitalists are the same thing as libertarians. They're the same thing.
How are they different? They hate us so bad.
What?
Like
they hate you because we're a bunch of pussy little bitches.
That's what they say.
You want to know why they hate you?
Because you're status pigs.
No, you want to know why they. You want to know why they hate you? Because people like me won't let them call themselves anarchists. They can call themselves whatever they want because they're free to do that, but I will never, ever, 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 ever allow somebody to tell me that they are the same thing as me. Oh my god, that is the only thing. You could call me like a fucking intolerant piece of shit for how much I hate anarcho-capitalists.
You should update your Facebook status.
I should update my Facebook status right now everybody has to
know about my ego.
Because, you know, anarchy is not about the collective. It's about what I want. Anarchist indoctrination is the way to go.
I'm really confused as to why exactly.
But anarcho-capitalists are totally cool with, you know, anarcho-communists because they think that as long as it's all under the umbrella of anarchy, as long as nobody is forcing it on anyone else, as long as it's voluntary,
they believe in that crazy free market shit.
Yeah, and you could have
crazy
your commune in
shit.
The free market. You could have your commune as long as, you're not forcing it on other people.
I think that's beautiful. I think anybody that's an anarchist has like a highly developed sense of who they are. They're highly developed social creatures, and they pick up little things here and there that tell them who they are and what they don't want to be.
There's this joke in the libertarian...
They're not free-flowing things.
There's this joke in the libertarian community that says the difference between a libertarian and an anarchist is about 6 months.
So you think that an anarchist will turn into a libertarian?
I think a libertarian turns into an anarchist.
Because I'm telling you, I have been watching this. I've been very tempted by anarchy and anarchism for like a really long time, ever since, you know.
Come to the dark side.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the dark side. See, but the
it's
thing
the
is
the warm side of love and collectivism.
Oh. No. See, that's the thing. I don't think anarchism necessarily has to be about collectivism.
Well, I'm an anarcho-communist, so that's what I mean. I think that. So here's the thing. I think that you could have like capitalists, like groups or whatever. But the problem, I do think that the free market is dangerous in terms of what I hear. Like, oh, any business can do whatever they want because
as
blah, blah, blah.
As long as
they're
not harming anyone.
But, as long as they're not harming anyone. But if it's a free market, how do I stop them from harming me? Like, how do I stop a company?
Well, you free yourself from that debate.
I can't free myself from that debate.
Well, give me an example where you're being harmed by a company.
Monsanto. Monsanto is creating seeds that could potentially destroy, if I owned property, first of all, I don't even really believe in property. That's a whole other thing. But if I had property, oh, it's going to make this, that was a clap if anybody wanted to understand that is listening. If I am living on a farm and I am growing my own corn and somebody on a farm nearby is growing Monsanto corn and our things cross-pollinate, it could destroy my thing if I wanted to save seeds. Monsanto could sue me, which would not be acceptable. That would not exist. But they'd still be destroying the Earth's soil and the glyphosate, that is the pesticide-resistant, they're creating pesticide-resistant crops. And that means you can spray tons and tons of glyphosate all over it. And glyphosate and whatever you put in your soil is going to go in the water, which is going to affect my life.
Yeah.
How do I stop them in a free market society?
You can't.
That's why I'm a libertarian and not an anarchist. But
no, but that's the free market. They tell me, they're saying unless you harm anybody, but they can do it. But how do I stop them?
That's what I mean, because that's why I believe. Yeah, that's why I believe that there's some sort of, like, you have to have some sort of, like, consensus. But, actually, I was just reading this article that I forgot to finish.
Yeah, but if there was no market, it wouldn't matter, because the only reason why
there's always a market. Market is just a naturally, spontaneously occurring thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying if there wasn't, like, this thing to have more, if it wasn't, like, a capitalist kind of thing, then people wouldn't be worried about making more money, and people wouldn't be trying to make these products that make them dominate the entire agricultural world. That's what I believe. In a free market, they would still be driven to get more. I think if in an anarchist communist society where we were resource-based and only focused on making sure everybody had all their basic needs, then that wouldn't matter.
Well, I'm in no way, shape, or form an expert in this or any subject for that matter. But yeah. I do remember just like browsing through Mises.org and being sent to a link of Bob Murphy.
Is it Mises?
Is it Mises? I thought it was Mises.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
I always thought it was Mises.
All right. Go for it.
So anyway, Bob Murphy, who's this economist, PhD, much smarter than I am, he has this like 1-hour lecture on the market for security and how things would work in like an anarcho-capitalist society. So while I may not be able to answer that, I will point towards him to maybe give you like a better idea of how things would work in a free market.
But I'm saying, but you hear what I'm saying, though, about the fact that, like, if we actually, like, decided we weren't going to have, like, a market where people had to worry about profit, because profit is defined as you get more back for what you put out. I think that you should just put out and get back all your basic things that you need. I think that, like, it doesn't really make sense for people to, like, sell food and be, like, making money off of food. I think that's kind of weird. I think that, like, people should just kind of agree that people are going to contribute to a certain basic need thing. Like, they're going to be worried about water or food or this or that. And then we're not going to be, like, worried about, like, oh, I need to have, like, be able to buy a computer if I'm going to give you food. I just think that's, like, weird.
I just feel like people are lazy.
People are lazy.
Yeah, and it's people. It's not, I'm telling you, it's not the capitalist, like, structure. It's because you have that under communism, too. It's just people will find a way to try and get more, to pull one over on each other, because that's just human nature. We suck. We're horrible. We truly are.
Speak
we
for
have
yourself.
The capacity to be so much better. Look,
so the libertarians are the dark side, and the anarcho-capitalists are the dark side. I see. Let's look at it in black and white.
I'm just a realist. I believe that, like, I want, whenever I see myself behaving in a way that is selfish, and I feel like I want something, I want more of something, and I don't want to give anything for it, I try and, like, recognize these moments in myself, because I don't like that. Like, I don't want to be a selfish person. I would way rather, you know, just give and have that make me happy and then not have to feel guilty for being selfish and for wanting more for myself, you know? But I think that that's something that we all struggle with, and we all have to, like, overcome that in ourselves. And if and when we do, then absolutely, it wouldn't even be a debate about, like, should we care about profit? Because that won't be, like, something that we think about having more for ourselves.
Profit's a swear word. Profit, anarcho-capitalist, free market, all these things. Like,
I love these sounds. It's like music to my ears.
No, profit is, like, makes me want to, like, a lot of, like, these things you're talking about how, like, you're a realist, and I hear you. but it literally makes me like so depressed that that's the reality of the matter. And I know you're that's right, so that's the sick. Reality.
I know, but I feel like you can't, we can't fix it, we can't change it unless we accept it for what it is. I think that what Marx, no, not even what Marx, but what Lenin and Stalin and all of those people in Russia did wrong was they
the
thought
Bolsheviks.
That, yeah, the Bolsheviks, they thought that they could force it. They thought that they can force society to change into something that they're not. And
turning of the tide, Noam Chomsky,
yeah.
1991.
Oh, I didn't read that. I'm sorry.
Noam, so have you yet. Ever read Noam Chomsky? yeah. Oh, you're, what are you doing at Occupy? You haven't read Noam Chomsky. Okay, well, I'm going to, have you accepted Noam Chomsky as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, I read about him in my NYU library, and, like, I, like, definitely know what it's like to be black now.
What?
I'm just making fun of like some of the people who I met at Occupy who just like wanted to talk to me about Noam Chomsky and about how like I was an idiot if I hadn't read him. Anyway, though, that was just me doing that's the comedy thing. But,
she's very black.
Yes, I can.
No,
see
I'm
it.
Not. That was not me. That was me making fun of people I've talked to.
Yes, I got you.
I was gonna say that, but. Most societies where there was communism, the people who before they had been in communism had been exposed to capitalism, right? People
Sorry.
It's okay. People who had been exposed to communism had exposed to capitalism, right? There was still that psychology left over, that passed down psychology. What I think is I really do believe that the more thing affects psychology. Like, have you ever played a video game where you know, I know, you gamble. So have you ever played a game where... You play for money, though, but if you play a video game where you're just getting points, you're just racking up points that don't really do anything, you just want them.
Yeah, I'm super competitive, like, in
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, and I think that is sort of, like, it's kind of weird. It's what's happening in cats. People just want more for
but
nothing.
What's wrong with that?
It's no, harmful.
Everything.
It's harmful. It negatively impacts. There's a reason why people... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm
so
screaming.
Loud.
Oh, maybe you're right. I'm probably screaming. There's a reason why there's, like, a... There's a reason why people... You were talking about how capitalism helps third world countries. I actually disagree. I think that we hoard resources over here. I think that we
over
have...
Over here?
Yeah, I think so.
But that's what I'm saying. Not for us. For us, we're good. We're harming third world countries. But if third world countries were allowed to develop themselves without our... without our laws
US
swaying
intentions.
Things to our benefit and against their interest, absolutely. And even with as corrupt and terrible as things are now with the global economy, still, capitalism, introducing capitalism in the market into China.
The U.S. is horrible.
I mean, yeah, because we're selfish.
I hate the U.S. I'm very unpatriotic.
I mean, I love the U.S., but I went to go live in Ukraine last
Me
year
too.
For three
yeah.
weeks. You
oh,
went to live in Ukraine? No. Sweet. We must have passed each other.
No, I didn't
week.
Go to Ukraine.
No, but I'm just telling you, like, because I went to go live there and I see that, like, just how different and just how much worse things can be, I really do appreciate things. Things suck, but they could be a shit ton worse.
We do live, I know, I will never say we don't live in an extremely privileged society. I will never, in America, we are extremely, extremely privileged. But it makes me angry because I see that, like, a lot of people don't really care. Like, you're talking about, they just, the government will take care of it. It's not my problem. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the thing that I think is going to destroy us. And I really do believe that a bit, like, maybe one day after I'm dead, like, we don't have to worry about profit. We don't have to worry about market. People, it will just be common sense to fuck. Like, when you harvest food, you harvest more than what you need, and then you give that to other people. That's just like common sense to me. And I don't know how I was like, why I think that way and why other people don't get that. But like, I think a lot of people get it like on a basic level, but they don't do it. And that's the problem.
I think that a lot of it is like,
yeah,
abiology. And then a lot of it is because we're conditioned, we're brainwashed by our families and by, you know,
media.
Schools and media and everything, and just society in general to continue to perpetuate this thing. That's why it's more of a cycle.
Let's get back on guns. We have a little under 20 minutes. This is amazing that we talked about this. I'm so happy this is going to be on the air, so I don't really care. But I want to talk about a little bit. We were talking about conditioning and mental health and stuff. I'm going to get a little bit on that. That's what I wanted to cover about... You know, there's people want to do background checks and psychoanalysis on people who want to buy guns. I think that is important because some people are violently mentally ill. However, that can be used as an oppressive thing because so many people are diagnosed as mentally ill with things that are not necessarily violent. Like, I'm a depressive. I mean, I do have PTSD, and I said that I might even be scared. But the fact that I would take that responsibility and know I probably shouldn't use a gun means I'm probably fine. Like, you know, like I wouldn't be trying to do that because I know that. But I'm saying not everybody who's diagnosed as mentally ill is really like mentally ill as a danger to other people.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, so what do you think about that? Like, how do we keep guns out of the hands of the people who are going to do dangerous things?
I think that we should come at like regulating guns differently than we do now. Like, instead of making all of these, you know, the fines and the fees and the permits and, you know, to like conceal and carry and to keep it in your house and whatever, all of these like things that make it difficult for, you know, law abiding, reasonable human beings to get a gun, we should do what the Israelis do, like when they screen people coming in and out of their country. You know how like we look for, you know, Muslim people or like, you know, angry looking men. What they do is they ask you a couple of questions and they psychologically screen you to see if like maybe there's something a little bit like off about you. And if there is, then you go on to somebody else and then they screen you some more. But they don't like judge you based on, you know, your gender or your religion or your ethnicity. It's
you
more
don't think
about
they
your
judge
mindset.
Somebody who's Palestinian. You really don't think they do that?
Well, because they have so many Palestinians and they have so many Arabs come. They're in the middle of the Middle East. So they're always having that issue. If they screened everybody that way, it would be too expensive and it would take forever. So they came up with a more efficient way to do it.
Torture?
No, I mean like just when you're flying in and out of the country, like that stuff.
The Israel-Palestinian topic is another show.
Yeah, but I meant it as an example for like how to do it in a more efficient way so that you're not, there's less innocent people that are affected by your gun regulations and more of the people that pose an actual threat that are affected by it.
I also like that idea of having multiple people take a look because I think that most people think I'm sketchy as all hell, but some people look at me and they're like, wow, you're so organized and forward. And just depends on who I'm talking to.
I don't like the idea of like being judged in order to decide whether or not I can defend myself.
I know, but I also don't like the idea of like, you know, a dude who just looks super clean cut and white and has like a side part in his hair getting a machine gun and then gunning down like a bunch of people in a nightclub or like a bunch of like little children who are going to school because he looks normal. He looks like, you know, the stereotypical WASP dude. I don't think that that's fair either because then he's judged and he on the same basis and he gets away with shit.
I think that guy would not have as much of a chance of killing as many innocent people in a school if there were, like, armed guards or just more guns in general in the hands of good people. And I feel like the way to make it so that there are more guns in the hands of good people is through deregulation and through making sure that, you know.
I agree. So. I agree with that.
Do you think there would be less shootings if they were deregulated?
Yes.
Why do you think that?
Because I think that if you look at, like, you know, all the shootings in schools or in movie theaters or even in nightclubs or wherever, it's usually in a place where they know that they won't be shot back at. So I feel like if you make it so that more people have guns or you could, like, conceal carry or even open carry or whatever, like, you're going to think twice before you go in there and shoot.
That's something I feel really weird about. And I know people will be like, well, you have to have freedom and whatever. I think concealed carry is really weird. I don't want to be around someone where I have no idea if they have a gun or not. That terrifies me. And I don't really want to, like, regulate against that, but I hate that. People are like, the concealed carry. People want to talk about how that should be legal.
I think that should be, but wouldn't you say
you're
safer?
Yeah, I think you should be able to hide what you want if you want to hide what you want.
Yeah,
that's where the Fourth Amendment comes
into.
I'm
not talking necessarily about law. I'm just talking about what is scary about
it. No, I do. I totally know what you're saying, because it's a gun, and it can go off and it can
kill reality is people could be carrying guns with them and you not knowing it, you know, whether they have it legally or not. So wouldn't it be better for, like, more sane, law-abiding citizens to be able to do it? So,
and also, somebody could be carrying a knife just as well.
And also, guns can be made out of household items.
Yeah,
you need is a pipe.
Look at shivs.
You go to Walmart, you buy some ammo, you find a pipe that's the exact diameter of that bullet, and you can fashion it any length. You can have a rifle, you can have a pistol, and then you just take a piece of scotch tape, and you press it into the bullet in the back of the pipe. And then you tap it with a tap hammer.
Well, there you go. How to make a gun at home.
Anyone can do it.
Radio free. Cool.
Wait, did we just learn something new?
Don't make a gun at home.
Very useful.
Don't make guns, everybody.
Don't make a gun. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, I wish guns were never, ever invented.
Someone's going
to
try
this. I wish, you know,
just buy ammo at Walmart.
And then somebody's going to try to sue me or something weird. I don't really care. But I was, they're not gonna, you can't sue me for that, sorry. But what I was gonna say, I have no money to give you. I was gonna say that
it was,
I think
it was Dave Murphy, everyone. Just
thank you, amen.
Who I just met, and I mean, and he's probably gonna go traveling, and I don't know if I'll ever see him again, hopefully, but I don't know. We'll exchange contact. It's
maybe
cool.
We'll get married on the space station.
Okay. I mean, I'm super poly, so I don't think that would really work out. I'm not really down with the marriage thing. Anyway, I want to make a point. We have so much.
Let's go off on that tangent. Yes, I want to talk about that.
I want to talk about another show. I was gonna say though, I think that when it really comes down to it, if people want to hurt other people, they're gonna hurt other people, and I think that leads to a major issue that comes up on my show constantly is the psychological stuff, like the having people have healthier experiences when they're younger. And I don't really know how to do that, but I do think like having schools that teach consent, schools that teach nonviolent communication, teach about mediation, teach about, you know, non-conflict resolution. I think about that. And then also, you know, if there's going to be guns, there has to be massive amounts of training available. It has to be free. It has to be very accessible.
Yeah. But I mean, like, when I think about deregulation and I think about all that stuff, I think, first of all, I think deregulation is kind of a dangerous and an ugly word. And I really don't like it because it makes it sound like all deregulation is equal to each other. And it's not. I think that if you deregulate, like take away certain laws that maybe are useful, you know, that's a bad kind of deregulation. And if you deregulate something that has been oppressive, then that's a good kind of, that's like, you know, spreading freedom and whatever. So I think that aside, I think what you were just saying, wait, I'm sorry, what were you just saying? Because I totally lost it.
I was talking about like schools and how I think.
Yes, I think, thank you. I think that one of the things like with capitalism and just with just society in general is the fact that whenever we discover something new, like everybody explodes over it and it's like, this is cool, I gotta have it. And then all of the negative fallout from that, you know, occurs, it's witnessed. And so we decide how we're gonna deal with that negative fallout. Like with all of the, in the 50s and whatever, they were trying to like, you know, make food a lot cheaper and more accessible to everyone, feed the world and stuff. And that ended up with things like Monsanto. And now we have to deal with that fallout, you know? So I think just like with guns, that they're so much more dangerous and so much worse than they were 100 years ago. I think that this is a new problem that we as a society have to just kind of like, we deal with the fallout from that and we adjust how we, you know, behave about guns accordingly. It's just a slow process, and I'm not really sure that government is like, it expedites the process or it hinders it and makes it worse.
It's both.
I mean, this is just such a confusing issue for me because I have such like strong views on economics. As you can tell, I'm like, capitalism, no. Like, I hear where y'all are coming from. You know, I have such strong views on everything. I'm like, on agriculture, on like a million different things, psychology, how we should handle mental
guys,
health.
Can we have a group crying? Can we just cry?
Oh, my God, it's going to make that really hard for anybody to listen to. This is the sound thing. But yeah, I think that like, you know, mental health, medical health, education, like all these things I have like super strong opinions on, the prison system, but I just don't, the guns are so confusing.
Yeah,
that's why I wanted to do this show.
Because on one hand, well, I mean, you're an anarchist, so you understand the concept Whoa. Of freedom. So,
are you making fun of me?
No. I'm
libertarian.
That's a totally positive thing. That's
libertarian
that's
with a tie dye.
That's good that you have that. Yes, I have a tie dye business.
It's lovely.
So I made this.
I love
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's how I met her. I went to a Dead & Co concert, and then like decided to have an orange juice at this bar near my house. And I was like, "You guys were there too?" And they were like, "Yeah." And they were at some other thing, but I was like, "Oh, you went to see the Dead? What'd you think?" And they were like, "No."
I love spontaneous friendship.
It's yeah, cool. Word.
Because they were wearing tie-dye, I assume they were at the Dead concert.
It was the Lumen. It's a light festival,
cool.
An art show in Staten Island that's like gotten pretty big over the past five
Lumen.
Years. And you get to like, they have to decide whether or not they allow you to vend there, like if your shit's good enough. And we got in, which was so awesome.
That's cool.
And then we
awesome.
Sold mad shit and made dough, which I know you don't like
one.
That because it's capitalism.
No, I mean, I actually am more pro-independent. businesses like that. Yeah. Like, if you're gonna do, if you gotta work, so you might as well not work under like a corporation.
Yeah.
But I want to say something though. We have like 6 minutes left, so I wanna have some closing statements. So why don't we start with Ricardo?
Okay, so
and I'll go like this if you need to hurry it up because we have limited time.
Gotcha. Okay, so nothing's ever black or white, or maybe some things are, whatever. I don't know. But I do know that if you know, when you think about guns and you think about like an unarmed populace as opposed to like an armed citizenship, then you're probably going to lean towards an armed citizenship as an anarchist. And I don't think that has really anything to do with just being an anarchist. I just think that logic dictates that if you had to like make it harder for a law-abiding citizen to have a gun, then you'd rather not, just so that they can defend themselves. Like, I'm not really, you know, as pro-Second Amendment as, like, some of my friends are necessarily, but I do side with them just because of that. One last thing that I do want to say, just in case it's the last thing I say or whatever, Alex Merced is running for United States Senate from New York, so go to alexmercedforny.com, check him out. You don't have to just vote Republican or Democrat. You could vote Libertarian, and Alex Merced will be on the ballot.
So I want to go to Irina, but you should advertise your tie-dye business if you want.
Okay. It's cool, thanks. It's Ditzy Dyes on Facebook, I guess just with Z's. So Ditzy Dyes. We're lazy, and we're more about the creative part of it. So we just make the stuff, and we're bad at putting it online. So we don't have, like, an Etsy account or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, but look at our stuff, and if you like it, whatever.
Nonchalant capitalism.
Yes, very nonchalant. So just wrapping up the thing about guns, I think it would be better to have, you know, the innocent victims have the like ability to be armed. All I can think about is just Chicago and how bad I feel for everybody who's not a cop or a criminal, because they're the only ones that have the capacity to defend themselves. It's just not right. I also don't think that just anybody, like, you shouldn't, it's ridiculous to have a tank in your backyard, you know? It's just stupid. So I think there should be some sort of very minimal, very smart regulation that just indicates, just so that you don't accidentally hurt other people. What that looks like, I don't know.
Very cool.
Maybe none of us know.
I will debate you on the tank in the backyard.
Later, baby.
Okay.
I think if we don't start changing our feelings, we're not going to be able to do anything in this earth.
Agreed.
The earth needs us right now. The earth clearly needs us right now. And we need to love it. We need to love people.
We need to be better.
We need to be there for people. We need to embrace our inner shell and transmogrify. No, I gotta
say
this.
You have to get your last sentence. You have to. No.
We need to love each other.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry for rushing that. I said to make sure I get in my last couple things. So I think this was a really, really inspiring episode. I'm really happy we did this. I think we're going to need to have guns part two, you know, because I think there's a lot of things that are going to play out right now in, you know, the government in terms of what?
Guns part two.
Yeah, guns part two. There's a lot of things that are going to play out in terms of legal stuff. So I'm going to do this in a couple weeks, and maybe I'll invite some of the same people back, but I want to bring back people who have very more views on this. So if you want to be on that show, email me at the number two, like the symbol KEDALOW@gmail.com. Or you can contact me on Facebook, facebook.com/whatwouldsavetheworld. I'm here every week, Wednesdays from 3 to 4 p.m. and Tuesdays 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And if you have any other ideas for topics that you want to talk about with me or with other people, people that you think would be interested in this, again, contact me. Also, if you have any political, like, topicked music, please let me know. I'd like to put music on here. Also folk music, because that's historically very politically charged. And I'm a hippie fuck. And we have like 30 seconds. So if anybody just wants to get back on the mic, I know I rushed you. So if you want to get back on and say something, I just want to make sure I got that all in. Blah, blah, blah.
We need to protect Earth and fuck the government.
Yeah, solid.
Maybe for guns too, we can have the tank in your backyard debate. I would like that.
Yeah, we should. I mean, I'll bring a couple of you back. I want somebody on here who's like super, super, super pro gun.
I'll try and find someone. And I know someone, and he's really, really intelligent too. But I'm not quite sure. Exactly.
And I'd love
where
to have
stands.
Like people on for other topics and stuff, because I'm really happy to. This is the first time I've had more than one person. If you have any feedback for me also on that, please tell me on my page if you like this, because I love this. Bye.
He's already.
Bye.